So what does it mean to follow Jesus? I mean, when Jesus calls us to follow him, what's he really saying? What does he mean, follow me? Is it like following someone on Twitter? You read some of what they say, and you might even repost some of the better tweets. Share those with others. Is that what he means when he calls us to follow him? Is following Jesus something we can do today and maybe not tomorrow? Well, most of tomorrow, but not tomorrow night, because, you know, tomorrow night's me time. I'll give Jesus some other time, but tomorrow night's me time. I want to get this party to go to and can't really follow him at this party. Is that what it means to follow Jesus? I mean, does following Jesus simply mean we're not following someone else? Well, I'm not a Muslim, and I'm not a Jew, and I'm not a Hindu, and I'm certainly not an atheist. Well, what's left? Well, I must be a follower of Jesus. He seems to be the best option out there. Is that what it means to follow Jesus? I mean, is following Jesus like following a political party? You don't really vote, but if you did vote, you certainly wouldn't vote for that other party. You don't necessarily vote for your party, but certainly not that other party. Is that what it means to follow Jesus? I mean, is following Jesus like cheering on your favorite team? Go team. You sit on the sidelines and you watch other people out on the field doing the things that you yourself are unwilling to do? Is that what it means to follow Jesus? What does it mean to say that you are a follower of Jesus? What should be understood when you make that statement to other people? I mean, is following Jesus something we get to define? Or is there something inherent in the call to follow him that we have to agree to in order to follow him? Well, let's see what Mark has to say about this subject. So if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. We are in our second week of our series on the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1, it is page number 837 if you have one of these black Bibles the church provides. Now, we learned from the church fathers that Mark's goal in writing his gospel was not to get the right chronology. He was not really that interested in writing a correct order of the events of Jesus' life. So his goal was not to write them in a correct order. Instead, we learned from the church fathers that his goal was to get the stories themselves correct. And yet Mark connects the stories in a very intentional way. Each story, as the book flows, logically connects to the next one. And so in order to understand this week's text, we have to back up a little bit and look at some of the things we talked about last week. So let's look at verse 14. Mark writes, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.' When John is removed from the scene, Jesus begins his public ministry. He recognizes it is time for him to begin his work that God has sent him here to do. And so he begins with his primary message. The kingdom of God is here. The rule and the reign of God is among us. Turn from your sins and believe in the good news of Jesus." So Jesus is on mission from the very beginning. Nothing is going to get him to go left or right from it. He is on target, and he is not going to stray from that target. He has this eternal focus on accomplishing everything his Father gave him to do. Now, with that in mind, let's look at our text for today. We'll read verses 16 through 20. "Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." When Jesus begins his public ministry of proclaiming the kingdom of God, Mark tells us that the very first thing he does is he calls men to follow him. He says, "I have this task. I can't do it all myself. I'm going to call people to come alongside and to help me with this ministry." Now, I want us to see something very important about these men that he calls. They're busy. Jesus isn't walking along the seashore looking for some guys who are just loafing around, screwing around, you know, with lots of free time. He calls men who are busy. They're fishermen. They're in the boat casting a net. They're in the process of working. It is the middle of their work day when Jesus calls them. Now, these men probably worked 6 days a week. They were good Jewish men. They only took off the Sabbath. Only Saturday was their only day off during the week. Now, sometimes we use our schedules as a reason to not serve Jesus. I would serve Jesus if I had more time, right? We've all thought this. Can I be direct? You guys allow me to be really kind of blunt here for a moment? If you are too busy to serve Jesus, you are too busy. That's it. If you don't have enough time to serve Jesus, then you are filling the time you do have with the wrong things. See, the problem isn't our day is too short. I mean, the problem is we don't do and aren't about the right things. How many of you have ever wondered, boy, if God would simply make the day longer? How many of you have ever thought that? If there were only 30 hours in the day, my hand's up. I mean, this is not just an example. I would love for the day to be 30 hours a week. Why is the day not 30 hours? Why is the day 24 hours? Or however you choose to measure. Why is it one rev? Why is it the length it is? Because God has determined that that is enough time for you to do the things that He intends for you to do. God has a plan for each one of us. He has tasks that He wants each one of us to be about. And He gives us precisely the right amount of time to do it. Now, the way our days are typically structured, we spend about a third of our day sleeping-ish. We spend about a third of our day working, which leaves about a third of our day to do the other things. Cooking, cleaning, washing, shopping, spending time with our children, playing video games, right? Playing basketball, whatever it is. I mean, that's the rest of the time, that's what that's used for. God gives us enough time to accomplish the things that He wants us to accomplish. If you do not have enough time to accomplish the things that God wants you to accomplish with the 24 hours He gives you, what does that say about the other things that fill up your 24 hours? Okay. I'll be less direct now. I don't want to step on any toes because I'm stepping on my own here. When Jesus calls busy people to follow Him, He intends for there to be a reshuffling of their priorities. These men were working men. They had jobs to do. Jesus said, leave your job to come follow Me. I know you're busy. You got nets in your hands. You're actually casting them over the water. That's how you earn a living. Drop it. Get out of the boat and follow Me. So He intends for us to reshuffle our priorities, the things that we spend our time with. See, following Jesus then means you may have to give up some things in your life. They may well be good things. But if good things prevent you from serving Jesus, then good things become bad things. Because a bad thing is anything that prevents us from living for God. There's another thing I want us to see about the men Jesus called. They were ordinary. Look at the end of verse 16. What kind of people were they? They were fishermen. These guys are blue-collar workers. They sweat for a living. These guys aren't at the head of their class. It's doubtful that any one of them was class valedictorian when they graduated from high school, if they graduated from high school. I mean, we're not talking rocket scientists here. I mean, when you think fishermen, don't think of some guy sitting on a riverbank sipping on his sweet tea with a long pole and a bobber, waiting for that bobber to go into the water. I mean, fishing in the first century meant nets, and these nets were heavy. The most common type of net was a drag net. This thing could be up to a half mile long. 16 men would stay on shore holding on to one end of the net while the other end was being rowed out in a big boat in a huge arc and then brought to shore. And then another group of men would take that side of the net and begin to pull it through all that water, all that weight of that wet, soggy net filled with fish. They would drag those fish out onto the seashore and then they'd pick out the ones that they could eat and throw back the ones that were unclean. This is hard work. These guys are laborers. They come home at the end of the day stinking like sweat, stinking like fish guts, stinking like lake water. I mean, this is not a clean job. These are ordinary guys engaged in physical labor. It's doubtful that any of them would stand out in a crowd. There weren't any Forbes 400 guys in this list. There weren't any Time magazine covers. There's no Barbara Walters interviews among these guys. They were ordinary. See, Mark doesn't really give us any background about these guys other than that they're incredibly, utterly, wonderfully ordinary. They're just ordinary people that Jesus calls. Jesus calls them right where they are, just as they are. He doesn't say, guys, come out, take a shower, because you stink, and then follow Me. He says, right where you are, you guys, come out of that boat and follow Me. smelling like fish, smelling like the lake, smelling like sweat. It's likely that this is at the end of their day. They often would catch fish at night. So they've had 8 hours or so all night of sweating. But these guys are tired, stinking. Jesus calls them just as they are. You know, they're ordinary. In fact, just as Ray told me this morning, the Pharisees would later, you know, I mean, so they were so ordinary. The Pharisees later said, like, how can these guys know this? How can those guys, these ordinary laborers, these fishermen, how can they know the things they're saying? Ordinary people don't know that kind of stuff. It's because they weren't following an ordinary person. See, following Jesus means you will be changed. You cannot follow Jesus and remain the same. It is impossible. If you remain the same, you're not following him. Now, if you've ever thought, I can't do anything for God because I'm too ordinary, you're the perfect candidate. Okay? You are the very kind of person Jesus is calling to follow him. He's calling ordinary people. But following him always results in the follower being changed. Now, following Jesus also requires movement. I mean, you can't really follow someone by sitting still, can you? I need a volunteer. I need an adult volunteer. An adult volunteer. Someone. I'll appoint you if I need to. Someone. Come on up. Yeah, you raise your hand. I want you to come up here and follow me. Object lesson. You got to hurry up. See, when you follow, it's a verb, to follow, to come behind, to do the things a person does. See, if you're following someone and that person turns right, where do you go? You turn right. That's what it means to follow. If they change direction and you're following a person, what are you doing? You follow. You go where that person goes. You do the sorts of things that person does. Thank you. Great job. Everybody give it a round of applause. That's all the word follow means. When Jesus says, come follow me, he's saying, get out of your boat and start doing the things that I'm doing. Start going the places that I'm going. Start saying the things that I say. That's what it means to follow. It means to imitate. It means to replicate. It means to do what the person being followed is doing. That's what he means. Following Jesus requires movement. You can't follow Jesus while sitting still. I mean, if you're following someone in traffic and she changes lanes, what do? You change lanes. If she turns right, you turn right. If she turns left, she pulls into a parking garage, you pull into a parking garage. That's what follow means. To follow Jesus is to go where he goes and to do what he does. But following Jesus doesn't just imply movement. It's Jesus' movement. It's doing the things Jesus does. When Jesus calls these men to follow, he's changing their purpose. He's saying, you are currently fishermen. You fish for fish. You're going to remain fishermen, but now you're going to, notice he says, become fishers of men. They aren't now, they're not equipped to be fishers of men. They're not prepared to do the work of the ministry. Jesus says, follow me and I will prepare you to do it. I will give you that ability. That's why the Pharisees were wondering, where these guys get all this? They had been with Jesus, and it was obvious. Now, what Jesus is doing here is extraordinary. Okay, this is unheard of. This is not how rabbis operated. A rabbi was a teacher in early first century. A disciple chose his own rabbi. If you wanted to learn more about God, what do? If you would go find a rabbi, not this guy, not that guy. Yeah, maybe. Oh, this guy. And you'll go up to that rabbi and say, Rabbi, can I follow you? Can I go the places you go? Can I sit and hear you teach? Can I watch and observe everything that it is you do? A rabbi didn't choose his own disciples. His disciples chose him. So here Jesus comes along, and what does he do? See, Simon and Andrew didn't say, hey, Jesus, can we follow you? We're kind of busy, but, you know, that's okay. We'll squeeze it in somehow. No, Jesus says, no, you come follow me. He does what an ordinary rabbi doesn't do. Following Jesus is also dangerous. The fact is, Jesus is not calling these men to live a life of luxury. He's not calling them to live their best life now. Now, fishing in the first century was a dangerous thing, especially on the Sea of Galilee. It wasn't a very big lake. It was maybe 8 miles wide by about 13 miles long. At least that's about what it is today. We don't know if it was a little bit bigger, a little smaller 2,000 years ago. not a very big lake. You wouldn't expect a hurricane there, but it was right by some mountains. The winds would come flying down the mountains on the west side of the lake, and they would come screaming across the water, and they could whip up some huge waves. Tiny little fishing boats they used in the first century were no match for some of these waves. It was a dangerous game, and it was unpredictable. It's not like they could turn on the Weather Channel and figure out, ooh, fishing's going to be dangerous today. We're not going to go out. They got up in the morning, it's sunny and clear, let's try it. It was dangerous, but Jesus calls them from one kind of danger to another kind. You see, some of the men he called were going to preach the gospel of the kingdom in some faraway country where they've never been. Some of them would preach the gospel right where they were. And some of them wouldn't have an opportunity to preach the gospel for very long because they would be killed because they were followers of Jesus. It's dangerous. Following Jesus is dangerous. He doesn't tell them the future. He simply tells them to follow. Now, in this book, Mark, he portrays the disciples as very real people. That's why we come up with our title, Real Jesus, Real Followers. They're ordinary people, which means they make lots of ordinary mistakes. But here in this text, we see the disciples in their best possible light. In fact, we will not see the disciples described this well again for the rest of this gospel. This is as good as it gets. Look at verse 18 again. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boats, a boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Now, Mark presents the disciples as following and responding to Jesus' call immediately. There is no delay. Jesus calls, they go. They dropped what they're doing. Remember when I said that in the 24 hours that God gives you, you don't have enough time to do the thing God gives you, then you need to reshuffle? These men reshuffled. They were busy fishermen. This is how they earned their living. They dropped it. They made some significant changes. They were in the middle of casting their nets when they heard the call of Jesus. They heard it. They stopped what they're doing because they couldn't stay with their nets and follow him. So they followed Jesus for a short distance. He goes along and he sees some more fishermen. This time, James and John are with their father Zebedee in a boat. They're repairing their nets. Jesus called them to join him. Now, he's calling them to leave their family business. And not only the family business, their source of income behind, he's calling them to leave their father in the boat. Sometimes we have to leave our extended family behind in order to follow Jesus. If Jesus calls you to be a missionary in some Muslim country, you're probably not taking the whole family with all the aunts and uncles and cousins. Maybe. Probably not. Jesus may call us to leave behind some loved ones. So Mark's point is that they left immediately. Now, in this particular case, they didn't leave their father high and dry. Their family business was large enough that they had employees. They had hired fishermen to work with them. And so they left that business to their father and his employees. Now, so far we've seen that following Jesus means you may have to give up some things or reshuffle your priorities. Following Jesus means you will be changed. Jesus calls ordinary people to do extraordinary things by being changed by him. And following Jesus means you have to do something. You can't follow Jesus without being active. We've also seen that following Jesus is immediate. Jesus doesn't tell them to come follow him when they've got everything squared away. Once you have everything in order, once your life is come immediately. So what does this mean for us today? Here at New City Church, what is God telling us through this story in the Gospel of Mark? What is so important about him calling his first four disciples that has some impact on our lives? Well, I can think of a few things. There are lots of things that it could mean, but here are some things I think God wants us to talk about. It means following Jesus is calling us to a new level of following. In order for us to continue following Jesus, we have to, in a sense, step it up a level. See, the fact is, Simon and Andrew and James and John, they actually knew who Jesus was. This is not their first time meeting him. We read in John chapter 1 that Simon and Andrew and James and John were disciples of John the Baptist. John the Baptist told them, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Saying, Jesus is the Messiah. They were with Jesus when he was at that wedding in Cana and he turned water into wine. They were aware of who he is. But he hadn't told them to follow him yet. So Jesus comes to them and says, now it's time. Now you have to actually get up out of your boat and come do something. It's part of being a follower of Jesus is hearing his teaching. Part of being a follower of Jesus is watching what he's doing. But part of being a follower of Jesus means actually engaging in the mission of Jesus. That's the new level of following that he is calling us to. What this means is we must reach out to others with that gospel of the kingdom. Jesus begins preaching the gospel of kingdom, immediately calls people to follow him by engaging in that mission. That message we must proclaim is one of following Jesus. We must call others to follow him even as we follow him. You see, as we saw last week, following Jesus isn't about following good advice. It's about following a king. Jesus commands us to come. See, Jesus said he would make us fishers of men. Now, what happens to a fish when it's caught? I think you could say that that fish's life is forever changed. A little bit of lemon juice. Maybe some beer batter. The fish's life is forever changed. That's what we're calling people. We are calling people to die. That's the message of Jesus. Come and die to yourself in order to have life. He's calling us to catch fish, and their lives will never be the same. See, we're called to follow Jesus by calling people to follow Jesus. See, our message is our mission, and our mission is our message. We call people to follow Jesus. That is our calling. Now, following Jesus may mean you have some things you need to change in your life. If you're truly following Jesus, you will embrace those changes. And they may be hard. They may be difficult. There may be some things you like doing that you have to give up. There may be some things you don't particularly find enjoyable that you have to start doing. Following Jesus means you will be changed. If you're not being changed, you're not following him. I can't think of an easier way to say that. A way to soften that for you. If Jesus isn't changing you, you aren't following him. He changes his followers. This also means you don't have to be some sort of superstar to follow him. Because the disciples weren't. Mark never says these guys were great fishermen. They simply were fishermen. They were probably just making it. Means we don't have any excuses. You don't have to be good at anything in order to follow Jesus, because Jesus enables you to do good things. It's his power through you. Now, following Jesus may mean you have to make a clean start. Have you publicly professed Christ as Lord through baptism? We've had it in our bulletin for several weeks. This will be the last Sunday for a while. But baptism is your public profession that Jesus is Lord, that you are following him. Now, can you actually follow Jesus without following him? I don't know how you could do that. You have to move in order to follow someone. It's not like you put a GPS tracker on him and you have a little computer screen and, oh, he's over there doing that. That's not following Jesus. Jesus thought it was important enough to be baptized, and he calls us, he commands us to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So how can you follow Jesus if you don't actually go through the waters of baptism like he did? Now, following Jesus also means you don't have an if. I will obey God if. There's no if you follow Jesus, or when you follow Jesus. If you have an if, I will obey God if, now you know what your real master is, the one you are really serving. It's whatever that if is. Following Jesus says, I will obey God. Period, end mark, end of sentence. No conditional clause. I will obey God. That's what it means to follow Jesus. See, following Jesus impacts how we spend our time. It impacts how we spend our money. It impacts how we live our lives. Are we truly followers of Jesus? We have to evaluate ourselves. Are we followers, or are we simply fans in the stand saying, go team? You go, guys. Get her done. A follower doesn't choose the message. A follower doesn't choose the direction. A follower doesn't choose the mission. Jesus Christ determines the message. Jesus Christ determines the direction. Jesus Christ determines the mission. And when we follow him in the direction he sends us. There's one Lord, and we're followers of him. So here at New City Church, we want to follow Jesus. That is what we're all about. If you want to know what our mission is, here's our mission statement. You guys ready? Making disciples, period. That's our mission statement. A disciple is a follower. We have our rabbi, our teacher. We are following him. Our job is to make other followers of him. It's that simple. So we as a church, we want to live that out. Jesus gives us our message. We don't get to determine what sort of message we proclaim to others. We can't make it more palatable, make it easier. Well, that's okay if you want to live the way you want to live, as long as you're in church and you put some money in the plate and, you know, you volunteer when we need some help. We could pack the place if we did that. If it was easy to follow Jesus, he wouldn't have said to take up our cross to follow him. The fact is, the King of Kings came to this planet to live life for us, to die death for us. And he calls his people to follow him. Jesus came to save sinners. That's why Jesus came. He came to save sinners. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's our mission. That's our message. That's how we follow Jesus. There's no other way. You can't follow Jesus without following him. The mission is the message, and the message in the mission. In fact, still today, Jesus is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. The difference is Jesus is not here physically proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He's proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom through us. It becomes our mission. It becomes our responsibility. Our city needs this message. How many times do we have to watch the news and see young men getting killed on the streets before we realize they need Jesus? Only Jesus is going to stop the violence. The police haven't been able to. The mayor can't do it. It's only the gospel of Jesus, which is a gospel of peace and reconciliation. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can take away the problem that causes young men to kill each other, that causes young women to be abandoned, that causes, you know, drug violence, and it causes broken marriages. Only Jesus can fix this. Only the gospel of the kingdom, only the rule and the reign of God, overcoming every stubborn heart, can fix the problems in our city. And if you have any love within you at all for our city, you're going to recognize the way to fix it is to proclaim Jesus. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. I mean, if you came to New City Church thinking you had some other program in mind, I'm sorry. We don't get to choose what program we have. Jesus says, you want to follow me by doing the things I do. Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. That's what we get to do. Ordinary us. He doesn't say, look, you know, James, and you got get off the boat, take a shower, get your GED if you haven't graduated, get your, you know, college degree, then maybe take some seminary classes. Maybe by the time you're halfway through seminary, you should know a little something. You can actually, no, ordinary people who don't know anything. I will make you become fishers of men. That's what happens when we follow Jesus. He changes us. Our city needs him. We have him. If our city's going to hear about him, we have to tell them. That's what it means to follow Jesus.